Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph Omed Aleph. At the end of the line, it says Tonu Rabbonon, abbreviated Tonu Rabbonon. We have a Tanaic source that lasts a couple of lines, as you can see the framed section which represents a Tanaic source. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin where you see a Nosei, a topic heading feature, in which we have written the following: Hamakshe Shloshi Yomim, a woman who is experiencing a blood release, a blood discharge, for 3 days in anticipation of a birth. V'yotzo derech doifin, and the woman delivered a child, but through a C-section, through a cesarean delivery. And the source that we see will feature a machlokes tanoim concerning this particular scenario. The source begins Hamakashe Shloisha Yomim V'yotza Vlad Derech Doifen. A woman, as we said, had a blood discharge for 3 days and then gave birth through a C-section. Now, we've seen this situation of 3 days of blood discharge followed by a regular birth, and if there is pain and blood that continues up till the birth itself, so we say that the woman is not Tameah. This is called, she is not a Yoledes Bezov, because there was no period of 24 hours of relaxation from the pain. In this case, the birth takes place through a C-section. So the Tanakhama says, Hare zu yoledes bezoiv. This woman is considered a zova. The circumstances under which the Torah purifies, declares tohor, a situation of 3 continuous days of blood discharge, is only when it culminates in a regular birth. In Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein zu yoledes bezoiv. Rabbi Shimon says, no, she is Tahora as far as Ziva is concerned. It's not considered Yoledes Bezov. And this is Rabbi Shimon Lishita. So he is consistent with his Shita, his opinion that a C-section delivery is a regular birth. So you have the benefit of the Torah declaring Tahor this situation. Now the Seifa of the source. V'dam hayoytze misham tomei. Blood that comes out through there is tomei. The blood itself is Tomei, Rabbi Shimon Mitaher. Rabbi Shimon declares the blood Tohar. The Seifa is a bit vague at this point, and the Gemara will deal with it later on. We continue. Bishlamo Reisha. The Reisha of this source is understandable. Rabbi Shimon Litamei, Rabbanon Litamayu. Rabbi Shimon, who declared the woman to be Tahora, is consistent with his reasoning that a cesarean birth is a regular birth, so that you have 3 days of blood discharge with pain culminating in a birth. And we know that that is Tahora from Ziva. Rabbanon, who declare her Tamea, are consistent with their opinion that a C-section is not considered a birth. It's not considered a halachic birth, that is, and therefore you have a woman that has 3 days of discharge, and that makes her into a zova. Elo seifa b'mai pligi. What is the point or the circumstances of the machlokes that you see in the seifa? We, marking-wise, have a new marking, a diamond, and this is explained under the Mivne heading, also in the margin. You can see a diamond is featured, and we've written Hesberim. These diamonds, there is one over here, and you'll see another one on Omid Beis. These represent Hesberim Machlokes Chachomim Rabbi Shimon B'Seifa, and explanations of the controversy between the Chachomim and Rabbi Shimon in the end of this Tanaic source, Dikotoni, where it said, V'dam Hayotze Misham Tomei Rabbi Shimon Metaher. And we're coming to explain that particular seifa. So, Omar Ravino, we continue in the on the bottom line of the Gemara, Kegoin Shiyotza Vlad Derech Doifen. We're describing in the seifa a cesarean delivery, Vidam Derech Rechem. And blood is coming through the regular birth canal. This blood is blood that was a result of 3 days of blood discharge with pain leading up to the child's delivery. V'ozdo Rabbi Shimon l'tamei v'rabonon l'tamayu. Rabbi Shimon, that is metahir the dam, is consistent with his opinion that this is a regular birth, and therefore the Torah declares tohor the blood. And the Rabbanan, who say that the blood is tameh, is consistent with their reasoning that this is not considered a regular birth, so all you have is tameh blood coming through the woman's regular tube or channel, disconnected, so to speak, from the rules of birth, and therefore it's tameh. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef objects on two grounds. Chado dahainu resho. If this is the explanation of the seifa, it's simply a repeat of the machlokis that we saw in the resha. We saw in the resha the Rabbi Shimon telling us that the woman is not a yoledes bezov, and hence in the seifa it would only stand to reason that the blood is tohor. We saw in the resha that the woman is called a non-yoledes, she is considered a yoledes bezov according to the Rabbanan, hence the blood that comes forth from there is tameh. So what do I need the seifa to reflect that which is already taught in the resha? The oid, the further problem is misham mokum vlad mashma. When you read the source, it says, and the blood blood that comes out from there. What is the there referring to? It would seem that it's referring to the place the place from which the child exited, which is the C-section, the slit in the woman's belly, and not through the canal. Elo Omar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef offers a second approach to explaining the machlokis in the seifa, kegoin shiyotza vlad vidam derech doifen. The seifa features a case of a C-section delivery and the blood that comes from there, from the area from which the child came. So the child is taken out of the womb from the, not through the birth canal, but through an incision in the woman's belly, and the blood that we are talking about is also blood coming from there. Uvemekor mekoymei tomei komiflugi. And the point of machloikis is, do we say that the mokor, which is the womb, is a place of tuma? Morsovar makor mekomo tomei. The Rabbanan, who said that the blood that comes from there is tomei, the Rabbanan hold that the mokor, the womb, is a place of tuma. So the the womb communicates tuma to the blood. Umorsovar and Reb Shimon is of the opinion makor mekomo tohor, that the mokor, the womb, is not a place of tuma, but it is tohor. Hence, the blood that comes from there is tohor. Before going on in the Gemara, we glance at the Rashi, the second narrow line, Rabbonon Sabri Mekor Mekomo Tomei V'Hilkoch Tipas Dam Metamo. Therefore, the Mokor is Metama, the drop of blood. V'Afogav the Derech Doifen Lav Re'iyohi Letamei Eso Isha Tumas Shiva. Even though the C-section delivery is a type of delivery that does not impose a 7-day tuma on a woman who gives birth. In general, a woman who gives birth to a male child is tamei automatically for 7 days because of the birth. A C-section is not considered a birth with regard to tumah. Miu tipo atzmo, the drop of blood itself, mitamo b'mago, will communicate tumah through contact. Mishum denoga b'mokor, the blood touched the mokor, the womb. Umokor mekomo tome, and it is a place of tumah. Hence, it's mitame, the blood, and the blood will communicate tumah to someone that touches it. For Rabbi Shimon, Sovar, Mekor Mekomo Tor, Ilatame, Tipo Hanogas Bo. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that the womb is a place of Tahara with regard to blood that touches it. Hilkoch Ki also Dam Derech Doifin Tohor Milatame. Therefore, blood that comes from the C-section delivery is Tohor. It is not capable of communicating Tumah. Chodam Makadomi, it's no different than than blood that oozes from a wound. Vechi also nami derech rechem tohor kol yamei ziva, and likewise blood that would come through the birth canal itself that issues forth during the yamei ziva of a woman, where there is no relaxation and pain leading up to the birth itself, the birth of the child would mitahir, even though the child exited through the C-section. But that again is Reb Shimon's shita, that a C-section is considered a regular birth, and therefore 3 days of blood discharge through the birth canal would be tohor as well, as long as there is no shofi, no 24-hour relaxation in the pain leading up to the birth. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Reish Lakish, Ledivrei Hametame Vedam, Metame Beisha, the opinion that holds that the blood is Tome, will Metame the Isha, will declare the woman Tomeya for 7 days. Now, here we have to emphasize, not because of birth, that already we saw, that a C-section, according to the Tanakama, that is Metame the Dam, is not Metame because of birth. However, there is Tumah for 7 days because of Nida. And the Chiddush here is, even though it's coming from the Doifen, it's coming from the slit in the side of the woman. L'divrei hametahir bedam metahir b'isha, and the shita that holds the blood is tahor, also declares the woman to be tahora. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, af l'divrei hametahir bedam, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish and says, even the one that's metame the dam, metahir b'isha, the woman is not a nida either. The Ozda Rabbi Yochanan l'tamei, and Rabbi Yochanan is consistent with what he says here. Here he says that the woman is tahora. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon, in quoting Rabbi Shimon Yochai, says minayin shein isha tumeo ad sheyetzei mad v'derech ervosa. From where do we know that a woman does not absorb tuma? She does not become tame until we can speak about blood coming through derech ervosa, through the birth canal, through the regular channel through which blood normally flows, as opposed to a C-section. Shenemar v'isha sher yishkav es isha davo v'gilo es ervoso es mekoiro he'ero. From this pasuk, melame, this pasuk teaches us she'ein isha tameo ad sheyetze madve, until there is a flow derech ervoso. In this pasuk, you saw the word davo. Davo is a flow, and you saw the word ervoso, which is a reference to the regular channel through which children are delivered and regular menstrual blood flows. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Makor Shinekar V'Nofal La'oretz Tamea. The Makor is the womb, the uterus of a woman that became dislocated from the woman and it fell to the ground. In other words, she discharged her uterus. And that organ, if you will, is metame. Rashi calls shineka chatichas bosar. The organ itself is a source of, could be metame. Shenemar, the pasuk says, ya'an hishofech nechushtech vatigole ervoseich. The word nechushtech literally is a bottom, and in this case it's a reference to the mokor, and it says vatigole ervosech. So what do we see from here? We see there's a reference to the womb, the nechushtech, becoming exposed. It means it fell out of the woman, and it's called erva. the pasuk says it's ervosech. It's called erva. It's considered therefore as if it's in its original place. So even though it's out of her body, it's considered as if it's in its original state, and therefore it is tomei. So now the Gemara continues lemai. When we speak about when Rish Lakish says that it's tomei regarding what tuma ilei malu tumas shiva, if you are saying that it makes the woman tomei for 7 days. Dam Omar Rachman of Aloha Ticha, the Torah speaks only about a blood discharge that makes a woman tameah, not a piece of meat. Elo Lutumas Erev. Rather, it's a reference to a 1 day tuma till the evening, with regard to the woman becomes tameah till the evening because upon its exit from her it came into contact with her. So it's a contact tuma as opposed to a discharge type tuma, and therefore she is tameah only till the evening. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mokor Shizia Kishtei Tipe Margolios Tamea. A woman had an exusion of 2 white droplets. She is Tamea, Lemai, with regard to what Tuma. Here we have used a double underline for the stage analysis, as we have done before when we're analyzing the stages in trying to figure out what we are speaking about. So, ilema letumas shiva, if the discharge of the 2 white droplets would be metama her for 7 days, if you were to think that, hamisha domim tamein b'isha v'sulo, the Gemara, the Mishnah, speaks about 5 different colors that communicate tumor, that are 5 different discharge colors that are responsible for a woman becoming tamea, and no more. And we're talking about white. White is not one of the colors in that list. Elo, the tumas erev. Rather, we're talking about the woman becoming tamea till the evening, a 1 day tuma, because the droplets touched the mokar, and that made, and then the droplets upon their exit came into contact with the woman. The davko tarti, and it would have to be 2 droplets, not just 1. Avochado, if it were 1 droplet, emo me almo asio, I would say it came from her sides and not from the mokar. Kol hanoshim mitamin bebeis hachitzon. The Mishnah mentioned that a woman, in general, when we're talking about a nida blood flow, it causes tuma when the blood reaches what's called the beis hachitzon. So here the Gemara will be analyzing, like we have indicated under our nosei mivne heading on the side, where we feature a triangle deos b'mahu beis hachitzon. We'll see different opinions here as to what is the beis hachitzon in the woman's body. Hey Nihu Beis Hachitzon, what is that area called Beis Hachitzon, at which point when the blood of a nida flow reaches that point, she is Tamea. Omar Reish Lakish, Kol She Tinoikis Yosheves Venir Ace. It's that point in the body that when a child sits, let's say spread legged, so when the child sits, so that area opens up a bit, and that open area is the area at which that we label here the Beis Hachitzon. Amar Lei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan asks, Oisei Mokom Golui Hu Eitzel Sheretz. That is not considered an internal area whatsoever. It's considered, as far as halacha is concerned, a totally external area, to the extent that if a dead sheretz, were to touch her at that point, it would be called tumas mago, and tumas mago is something that it creates tuma. It's tuma that results from contact, and that must be in what's called an outside area, as opposed to mago beis hastorim, which is another concept. Contact in a hidden area does not communicate tuma. So if you say that area of the woman is called beis hachitzon, which is something unique to the tumas nida, that wouldn't be the case. That's called golui. It's called an external. Let's glance at the Rashi. Oisamokom mikori bivasara. Would that be referred to by the term in the pasuk of bivasar, in her flesh? Kulo chutzhu. That's not in her flesh. That's external. Afilu eitzel magis sheretz. Even with regard to sheretz contact, sheretz is a dead creature that communicates tumah upon contact. The kaimolon, we have a rule that says ein mago beis hastorim mitame. Contact with beis hastorim. Beis hastorim literally is the hidden area. Contact with a covered or hidden body area does not communicate tumah. So the area that was just described by Reish Lakish is galui hu im noga sham sheretz. That's considered exposed if a sheretz would have contact with her there. So we're looking for something that's not golui. We're looking for something that we would call bivisara, in her flesh. And when the blood that starts flowing from her reaches that point, she is declared a nida. Elo Omar Rabbi Yochan. We continue in the Gemara with the second triangle. Ad bein hashinayim. The bein hashinayim are folds in the flesh, so that in that area of the woman's anatomy there are folds in the flesh, and that is the point at which that's the point that we call beis hastorim. Ibayaloho bein hashinayim kilifnim oi kilochutz. What about the area that's exactly, that's literally between those folds? Is that considered internal, or is it considered external? Toshma de Toni Rabbi Zakai ad bein hashinayim. Bein hashinayim atzmom kilifnim. The area called bein hashinayim itself, literally bein hashinayim, is considered internal. B'masnisa tana. In a Tanaic source, we have a third explanation. Mokom disha. What is beis hachitzon? That's called the mokom disha. My mokom disha. What is meant by that expression? Amar of Yehuda. Mokom shashamosh dosh. The shamosh is a euphemism for the male organ. So that the mokom disha is the area in which, during intimacy, the male organ reaches a certain area of depth in the woman's body. So at that point, that point would be called beis hachitzon with regard to a dam that starts flowing from the woman. At that point, she would be considered tamea. Tonu Rabbanon. We have a Tanaic source that opens up with a quote from a pasuk, Bivisara, Melamed Shemetame Bifnim Kibachutz. This teaches us that a woman becomes tamea from within, like ordinarily would be from without. In other words, even though the blood is still inside of her, but it has started to flow. And that is enough to make her tamea. The Aimli Elo Nida. I know this only with regard to Nida. The pasuk quoted here is a pasuk from the topic of Nida, Tumas Nida. Zavo Minayin. How do I know that with regard to the Zav, the Zava blood flow, this is blood that flows from a woman, it's not anticipated, but if after the woman observed the Nida days, seven Tuma days because of a Nida blood flow, blood that flows after that from day eight for any of the next 11 days would be called Zava blood. So how do I know that the same standard applies to that? Tamalomar Zova Bivisora. From the fact that the Torah chose the word Zova, even though it's a pasuk found in the context of Nida, but the word Zova indicates Zova blood as well. Poletas Shichva Zera Minayin. What about a woman who exudes or discharges semen that had been deposited in her, that it's mitame mibifnim kibachutz, tamud loimar yihye, that she becomes, she's considered a tameo mishum shichbazera when she is poletes the shichbazera, when she discharges the shichbazera and it reaches that point, even though it's internal. V'Rabbi Shimon Omer dayo keboyalo. The rules applying to the woman whose poletus shichvazer will be no different than the rules concerning the man who discharged the shichvazer in the first place. A balkeri, as he is better known, and we know that a balkeri is not tomei until the blood leaves his, until the semen leaves his body. Likewise, the woman who is discharging the semen, she will not become tomei until it's actually discharged from her. Ma boa lo eino metama ad shetetze, tumo l'chutz, just like the man, the boa lo, the man, does not become tome until the semen leaves his body. Af hi eino metama ad shetetze tum osa l'chutz. So to the woman does not become tamea as a with this type of tumah, tumas keri, until it leaves her body. Tumas keri, we should just note, is a one-day tumah. She's tumah until the evening. The Sovar, the Gemara asks, the Sovar Rabbi Shimon daya kebo'ala, does Rabbi Shimon really hold this, that we treat her no more stringently than we would the man himself? V'hotanya, we see the Tanaic source in which it appears that Rabbi Shimon would treat her more stringently than the man. So we have a Tanaic source, V'rochatsu b'mayim v'tomu ad ha'orev. Omar Rabbi Shimon, v'chima bo ze l'lamdeinu. What does this pasuk come to teach us? In the inyan noigea b'shichva zera, if it's coming to tell us that one who touches semen becomes tomei till the evening, harei kvar ne'amar lamata oy ish. There's another pasuk that teaches that idea. Ela, v'pnei shetumas beis hastorim hi. Semen, as it emerges, as it comes out of the woman when she is discharging the semen, you're dealing with an internal phenomenon. It's tumas beis hastorim, means it's tuma inside, internal. The tumas beis hastorim eino metamo. In general, as we saw before when we were learning the Rashi and mentioning the tuma of sheretz, we saw and we mentioned this, that tumas beis hastorim, the contact with that internal area, does not communicate tuma. When you have something, a substance that's metame, and it comes into contact with a person in the area of called beis hastorim, an internal or covered type area, the person does not become tame. Elo shigzeres hakosuv hu. However, in this case of poletus shichta zera, there is a Torah ruling that she does become tame. So we have a problem. Here we have a source that mentions tuma that is keri related, shikva zera related, and it's internal. The source just before, featuring Rav Shimon, mentioned that there is no tuma until it actually exits. So the Gemara answers, loi kashya, kan mishameshes, kan bepoiletes. The source that we just read, that mentioned it is a gzeres hakosov, that is a reference to mishameshes, that's the act of intimacy itself. So it's a gzeres hakosuv that a woman who engages in intimacy and her whole contact with the tumah, with the keri, with the semen, is an internal contact, she nevertheless becomes tamea. The other source that mentioned poletes, that's a reference to that's the source that mentioned ashitetze tumas alchutz, that's a reference to the woman who is discharging semen that had been inside of her. The Gemara asks, poletes tepuk le deha shimsha. In the case of poletes, why do you mention that she's tamea when it finally comes out? But is she not already tamea from the fact that she engaged in intimacy before the shzera came out of her? The Gemara answers, b'shetovlo l'shimusha. The case that mentioned shetetzi tumasa l'chutz, what happened was that she engaged in intimacy, and after the intimacy, she immersed in the mikveh, and there was sundown, and she thereby became tahora. The next day, there was plitas shichva zera, there was a discharge of shichva zera, and under those circumstances, we say she becomes tamea when the shichva zera leaves her body. The Gemara asks, lemeimra de mishameshes betumas erev sagi lo, are you saying that intimacy is responsible for tuma, but only till the evening, only a one-day tuma? V'ho omar rova, there's a statement of Rava that says Mishameshes kol shloshi yomim asur lecho betruma she'i efshu lo shelo tiflo. A woman who engaged in intimacy, she is categorized as tamea for 3 days. As a result of her being declared tamea for 3 days, she cannot eat from truma. Truma is a tithe given from produce to the kohanim, which demands a state of purity of tara. We see here she is tamea for 3 days. And the reason given, because she can't avoid being poletus. She is definitely going to be discharging zera. So we see that a woman, as a result of tashmish, there is a tumah that's imposed on her for 3 days. The Gemara answers, Hocha v'mayaskinon, the suggestion we saw in the Tanaic source that she is Tamea just till the evening as a result of Tashmish, where we saw the Pasuk in the second of the Tanaic sources most recently quoted. We saw a source that opened up with the Pasuk V'rachatsu b'mayim v'tomu ad ha'orev. That is a case Shehit binuha v'mita. The woman remained immobile, so she had engaged in Tashmish. She remained in her bed, immobile in her bed, and they took her with her bed and immersed her in a mikveh like that while she's lying in her bed. And since she doesn't move, so she is not going to be poletes shechva zera. The Gemara asks, Michlal dechikom arava. We can therefore infer, and this question, by the way, lasts a couple of lines, hence we've employed a long question marking to demonstrate this. That takes you to the second line from the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara develops a question based on that which was implied by our resolution that Rava, Michlal Dechi Koma Rava, must be then that when Rava spoke about her being Tamea for 3 days, the Ozla Ihi Bekara Betovla, that she walked to the mikveh. Rashi adds, most importantly, that Rava gives us the impression from the Lashon that E Efshe Shalo Tiflo Kol Shlosha, the Lashon that Rava used is, as Rashi says, the Mashma Tamea Vadois. Rashi on the bottom line, you can see we've dashed underlined this. It's Mashma that Rava says that she is definitely Tamea for 3 days. Well, the question here is, why do you say she's definitely Tamea? She's more likely to be Tahora than she is to be Tamea. After all, as she was walking, it's very likely that as she was walking to the mikveh, everything, all the zera that was in her, was discharged before she even got to the mikveh. So why do you say that she's tamea for 3 days? If we are saying that in the case of the Tanaic source that she's tamea just till the evening, she went to mikveh while she was lying in bed and her friends brought her to the mikveh and immersed her like that, so there was no body movement, therefore she can be called tahora. Rava, who spoke about a 3-day tumah, is instead of the woman remaining in the bed after the intimacy, she got out of the bed and walked to the mikveh. And under those circumstances, Rava seems to be saying that she's definitely tamea for 3 days. So we're asking right now, why do you imply she's tamea for 3 days? Dilma bahadi to kozla shadisa. Maybe as she was walking shadisa, she discharged all of the semen that was in her. We continue at the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The chitema dilma ishtayer. You might say, well, that some was left. If that's what Rava was talking about, then Chayshinon Shema Nishtayer Miboyale. The expression that should have been stated in Rava's teaching was, we suspect that maybe some was left. Instead of saying she's definitely Tamea for 3 days, you could say maybe she's Tamea for 3 days because there is some residual semen left in her. Elo, L'Rava Nami Shedbilua B'mita. Rava, who mentioned Tumah for 3 days, is a case also where she did not walk to the mikveh. She remained in the bed after her intimacy, and she remained immobile. And as a result of her remaining immobile, it is possible that there is going to be long-term discharge of the semen, making her a candidate for Tumah for the next 3 days. So if that's the case, so that if Rava's case of the 3-day Tumah is a case of Hibilo B'mita, and the Tanaic source which spoke about, quoting the Pasuk, spoke about a 1-day Tumah, and also Hibilo B'mita, how do you resolve these two cases? The Loi Kasha, Kan B'mishapeches, Kan B'sheino Mishapeches. Rava's case is, it's true, she's in the bed. However, she is flipping around. She's moving. She's bodily moving in the bed. And as a result of that movement, so she is going to be poletis shifbazera for the next 3 days. The case of the Tumas Erev, whereby we said we were mapil her after her intimacy, and that's it, and she's tahora, is that she remains stationary. Let us glance at the Rashi. On the second line from the top, Ela l'rova nami delo ozla. She doesn't walk to the mikveh. Hilkach kol sha palta. Therefore, there is a very strong reason to think that she will be discharging the zera on an ongoing basis for the next 3 days. V'hadu Rabbi Shimon the cholul litpol l'shibusha. And Rabbi Shimon's case of her being able to be toivel right after the intimacy, kagoyin shaloi nishapcha la'achar hatvila, where she didn't. She didn't flip around after the immersion in the mikveh. In Rava's cases, she does flip around. She does turn over after her being immersed in the mikveh. The Gemara continues. And Rava's coming here to explain the pasuk that spoke about v'rochatsu b'mayim, and he is here to say thusly. Ki kosav rachmona v'rochatsu b'mayim v'tomu ad ha'arev. The Torah, when it says that after intimacy she can immerse herself in the mikveh and she's tamei just till the evening and that's it, b'she'eino misapeches, that's where she remains still after her immersion in the mikveh. Avol b'misapeches, if after her immersion in the mikveh she does turn around and flip over, kol shloshiyomim asur lechol b'truma, for the next 3 days she is considered tamea, and then hence also to consume truma. She e efshar lo shelo tiflo. It's impossible to imagine her not continuing to discharge the semen, as we say, over the next 3 days. Hence she becomes tamei and also to eat truma. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.